Do you long, because we will now, Gary, talk about housing for you, do you long for a firm strategy to solve Auckland's housing problems? Do you think that's possible? Have you had any thoughts about this before we talk to Dr. Eric Crampton? What would a simple solution be?
Well, I think it's not a simple problem. It's like I think of this in the way that I think of the obesity crisis that we have. It is a complex problem, and it's not going to be, there's no one thing that's going to solve it. It's actually, I actually think that Peter Dunn is probably on the right track in the sense that there's a lot of solutions that all need to happen at once. But it needs action, and it needs brave, it needs some brave calls to be made, I think. And one of them, in my opinion, is the capital gains tax.
Okay. You and the Greens, I think, all right.
Yeah.
Gary, any comments?
Well, the first thing is lack of leadership. I mean, this should never have happened. I mean, I don't know what our political leaders are doing, but they clearly haven't been looking ahead and thinking about the future of the people of New Zealand. And I'd go with the thing I think came from the Northern Federation of Businessmen or something or other this morning. We're going to have to bring back state houses. I mean, you know, we've been flogging them off left, right and centre. I'll talk about this later on as well. But you can't have a country like ours where people are living in cars and garages, regardless of anything else. So what the government has to do is what governments are supposed to do and what leaders are supposed to do in a crisis like this. And the staggering thing for me is it's taken so long for the now faint idea that leadership matters that someone should step in and say, OK, we're going to build 30,000 houses in Auckland. We're going to take whatever land it takes to do it, and we're going to stop people living in cars and garages. So therein is the secret. We just need leadership, and we just do it. No nonsense. Just get on with it.
All right. Just do it. Just imagine, says Chris, a listener, just imagine if all the money that's been spent on the accommodation supplement had actually been spent instead on building real houses. Billions. Instead, it's gone to landlords. God bless them and their desperate needs. I don't know if he means the
well
landlords.
Said.
Our former economics lecturer, Dr. Eric Crampton, is head of research at the New Zealand Initiative. Good afternoon, Eric.
Good afternoon.
I suppose it's a bit simplistic building houses instead of favouring accommodation supplements, but it's an interesting point.
Well, we're not going to solve the housing crisis until we get more houses built, are we?
It would be ironic, wouldn't it, if the government's attempts to get, you know, people to give people supplements and get them out of state houses, as it were, out of the state house mentality, will merely now lead us back to more statish houses, cheap houses and subdivisions.
Well, the policy the government implemented made a lot of sense if we didn't have Auckland's housing situation being such a disaster because of how council decided on zoning. So the policy of trying to shift people from Housing New Zealand into rents that are supported through things like the accommodation supplement can make a lot of sense in making sure that people are able to find the kinds of houses that are fit for their family circumstances and in the places they need to be, if we haven't set in place a policy at the same time that prevents developers from responding to market demand, right? So when government has decided to make it really hard to expand into suburbs or to put up new mid-rises in the leafier suburbs closer to downtown or affordable apartments within town, you get rid of the housing the poor people are in while making it really, really hard for developers to be able to afford to put up anything that's a reasonable price because land prices are all jacked up because of how we've set zoning. So those two policies together have created kind of the mess that we're in on that part. At the same time, we've got a lot more people who want to live in Auckland than we've had willingness to allow new housing be built. It looks like they're starting to get more serious about cracking down on Auckland and forcing that zoning be a bit more accommodative, but it'll take a little while for supply to respond.
So, Eric, can I just ask this question,
sure.
Eric, while I've got the chance? Given the disaster that we now have, which is a disaster on an international proportion, given what we know about average incomes and what it costs to buy a house,
yep.
Given what we know now, is there any other solution than for the government to step in and build 20,000 houses? I mean, you know, we can't wait for 10 years. So what's the short-term solution here while people are still living in cars and garages?
Where is the government going to put them? They're going to have it in a spot that's zoned to put up more development. So you're back to the prior problem of making sure that there's enough land zoned by Auckland Council to be able to put houses on, whether it's the government that puts those houses up or somebody else. And if central government's having to have that pretty strenuous conversation with Auckland to allow more density and allow more expansion, then it should be opened up for everybody, private developers included.
But the government's just made more land announcements with a proportion of the houses to be made available cheaply, I think 600K. But Eric, when you open up land,
yep,
you get what we had in Auckland this morning, don't you? 1 hour commutes from the north and 1 hour from the south coming into the city this morning.
Well, you need to allow both expansion in the suburbs and ideally with proper congestion charging, but also allow more density within town. You need to have both. It's too difficult to put up affordable-sized apartments within town. They're all subject to minimum size restrictions and balcony requirements and parking requirements that make it hard to provide ones that are affordable. And then to get the kinds of density that are within reasonable commutes, well, you just end up with town hall meetings with 100 elderly people all screaming about how they don't want their neighborhood to ever change.
Yeah.
And then we have people living in cars because of those kinds of town hall meetings.
Labor wants the big building program. There are suggestions. Nikki mentioned the capital gains tax. I think the Māori Party want tax incentives to move to the regions. Winston wants immigration cut. Is Peter Dunne right in calling for a national, whatever he's called it, conversation meeting? Could you put all those ideas together, or are people politically simply not going to agree?
Well, we're already having some of that going on with the Productivity Commission's rethinking on how urban development takes place and zoning. It looks like there's a national policy statement in the works that would give councils a little bit firmer direction on how to make sure that they zone enough land for housing. Auckland has been coming around. It's far more on the supply side. All the demand side things like capital gains tax or other initiatives, those can have sort of short-term effects on how much it costs to buy a house, but they're not going to have real effects on how many houses are available unless we are getting council to change how they make these zoning decisions. I think some of that comes down to changing council's incentives, where if we were to have central government give them a share of the growth that happens in central government tax revenues when local government is accommodative to growth, so that they've then got budget items that they can use to help defray the costs that some neighborhoods experience, I think that could help.
Or do you do it in the grand gesture that Gary's alluding to? Do you do it by simply doing what governments in New Zealand tried to do more than a century ago when state housing first began, and just put the stamp on the landscape, say, you know, we're going to build houses here?
Well, that would require the same central government overturning of local council planning directives that we could have in a sort of... Either council in Auckland is going to do it themselves, or central government is going to be stepping in with a bipartisan consensus on forcing council to be responsible. I don't think we should be restricting our thinking to just how do we get government building more houses. It's how do we get the zoning set so that we can get more houses built, period. Because you're not going to get more state houses built if there isn't a spot that's zoned for them. And it's sorting out that zoning bit that's the important one.
Yeah, it seems to be. And they're
for goodness sake. And this is the terrible thing about New Zealand, you know, Eric and everybody. I mean, you know, if there are people in garages, as we know, even despite the fact there's people challenging who's in garages and who's in cars and who's not, we all know, fact number one, there's this terrible shortage of houses. Fact number two, there's a lot of fluffing around going on about land and everything else. Fact number three is you should just have a government which says we are going to do it, and we're going to tell the council this will be changing immediately, pass legislation, and then build the houses. How much longer are we going to have to wait for this stuff?
Well, it looks like Minister English's press statement of, I think it was Friday last week, after Phil Twyford's policy statement from Labour on housing, suggests pretty strongly that the Beehive's ready to do stuff if Auckland doesn't get serious.
Yeah, and he's saying money isn't the problem, it's getting more houses. But, you know, people say, why not renovate the ones they've got if money isn't the problem? Might be easier.
Well, there are some neat things going on. So if you look over at, say, the Tamaki redevelopment, where Housing New Zealand is having their housing stock shifted over to the Tamaki Redevelopment Corporation, Tamaki is going to be bowling the old state houses, putting up higher density townhouses in those spots, giving a new house to the prior state housing residents, and then selling the other ones from that section off. It's a neat way of increasing density on Housing New Zealand estates and maintaining access to affordable housing.
But the demand continues to outpace
supply,
doesn't it?
Yep.
All right. Thank you for the latest installment of that discussion, Eric. Dr. Eric Crampton, on the panel.